Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick and Noel King here filling in for John Hockenberry this week. Well, after the 2000 elections and the Florida recount, you remember that nightmare. After that, the American people clamored for some election reform. There was some in 2002. It was called the Help America Vote Act. But our next guest says that a lot of the problems from 2000 and Florida and other states remains today. Now, exactly how much has changed since the 2000 election? Rick Hassan is here to tell us. He is professor of law at the University of California, Irvine. He's also author of a new book, The Voting Wars. So, Rick, the subtitle of this book, The Voting Wars, is From Florida 2000 to the Next Election Meltdown. That's fairly stark. Are you predicting another disaster in 2012?
Well, I think that the chances of a meltdown in any one election on the presidential level are pretty small because you'd have to have a very close election in a state that matters for the Electoral College, and the odds of that happening are relatively small. But if you look over the last decade, in almost every major election, we've had at least one election that's gone into overtime that where there's been a problem, whether it's the Coleman-Franken race in Minnesota, the Rossi-Gregoire race in Washington State. We had a contested race in Florida involving electronic voting machines that Florida used. So it could happen. And my book argues when it does eventually happen, we're not prepared and things could actually be worse next time than they were back in 2000.
Now, the first and most obvious question is election law is run by the states. By design, we have a patchwork of 50 state laws because isn't it in the Constitution that the states make their own election law? If Ohio makes its rules and Montana makes its rules and Florida makes its rules, what's to be done at the national level?
Well, first of all, it's actually much worse than saying that it's a state law. It's in most places, it's a local law. When it comes to the election of the president, we have 13,000 separate elections. Much of the power is on the local level. There are turf wars between local election officials and state election officials. We're seeing this playing out now in Florida over whether or not Florida is going to enact early voting or use a special purge list that the governor would like to use to eliminate potential non-citizens from the rolls. And the Constitution actually gives Congress the power to override the states and localities and set up uniform election rules for federal elections. It's just something that Congress hasn't chosen to do.
Now, is that beyond the Voting Rights Act where the Justice Department reviews voting laws like in southern states? It's beyond that? It's a constitutional power?
That's right. So the Constitution gives Congress the power to override any state rules when it comes to congressional elections. And so this is the basis for imposing not just the Voting Rights Act, but the Help America Vote Act of 2002, which got rid of all of those hanging chads. So Congress does have the power, just doesn't exercise it to impose a national election system, which is something I think that we desperately need.
So it's worse than a patchwork in your view. It's actually a horrible mosaic of, I think you said, 13,000 different localities that run a national election or what we perceive as a national election. But what are the worst problems? Are we any better off now than we were in 2000?
Well, you've actually hit on the one area that has improved, which is our voting technology. Those hanging chad machines are gone. Optical scan cards seem to be the best technology. But that's the only good news. Back in 2000, we had partisan election officials from the state on down to the localities running our elections. Not just Catherine Harris, who many Democrats will remember was the Republican Secretary of State who sided with Republicans on contested issues, but down at the county boards. You had Democratic county boards reaching decisions that were different than Republican county boards on questions of counting ballots, on questions of what to do about a potential felon voter purge list. It went all the way down to the bottom. We still have partisanship, and we have elections done on the local level where there are varying resources and varying levels of competence. One of the stories I tell is of a very close race for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. In that race, the votes totals were coming in from localities all night, and they shifted back and forth. And this was going to be the swing justice who was going to decide whether or not Governor Walker's union-bashing bill was going to be allowed under the state law or not. At the end of the night, the Democrat was ahead by 200 votes, but the next morning, a local election official held a press conference where she said, "I kept all the vote totals on my personal laptop, and I forgot to include the city of Brookfield with its 15,000 votes. When you add that in, the Republican is ahead by 7,000 votes." The Democrat, who was supposed to be looking over her shoulder, she issues a statement through the Democratic Party where she says, "I'm 80 years old, and I don't know anything about computers. It looks like what she did was okay, but I'm still very, very confused." This is no way to run an election.
So you say that Congress has the power to overcome this with a unified, uniform national election law that would be standardized across the 50 states and the territories. Why haven't they done it?
Well, if you look at other countries, most other countries have national nonpartisan election administration for their national elections. We in this country have a long history of having our elections done on the local level. And so state and local election officials don't want to give up their power. Further, since 2000, the parties have realized that small changes in election rules can make a difference on the margin of very close elections. And in our society now, with its hyper-partisanship, we have a lot of close elections. And so the election reforms that have been passed on party lines. Election day registration, making it easier for casual voters who haven't taken the time to register to vote in advance to just show up at the polling place on election day, register and vote at the same time. Making it easy to vote is something that helps casual voters who are more likely to vote Democratic to be able to cast their ballots. And we're seeing this now across the country. There's fights in Ohio, in Florida, and elsewhere as to how long the early voting period should be. The reason Democrats are pushing for an extended early voting period is they know that many of their voters are not going to vote unless voting is made very easy.
Rick Hassin, author of The Voting Wars. I got to ask about electronic voting machines. You mentioned it earlier. I was talking with a friend about elections a couple of weeks ago, and this friend said, well, you know, in all these localities, they have electronic voting machines. They're completely corrupt and totally unreliable. They're all programmable the way the local officials want it to go. You can't trust them. What's the quality of electronic voting now?
I do think there is a level of paranoia on the left about electronic voting machines. I don't support using them because I think that without a piece of paper to verify how someone voted, you're going to have people who are not going to trust the process. I do think we need the piece of paper and the marked ballot to be able to examine in the case of a close election. But the conspiracy theories which say, as there's at least one theory which I describe in my book, that there is subtle code inside the machines that count the optical scan ballots that give an advantage to Republicans. There's just no support for this. This is about as false of a claim as the claims of rampant voter fraud by voter impersonation, which Republicans use to try to justify these new onerous voter identification laws.
Rick Hassin is an advocate of a uniform national voting law to get rid of what he says is a tyrannical mosaic of 13,000 local elections that actually decide elections in our country, not a national election. Rick Hassin is author of The Voting Wars, from Florida 2000 to the next election meltdown. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.